तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स बुद्धं धम्मं संघं नमस्सामि। Permission from Ajahn Maha and all my friends in the holy life here to offer some reflections on this Tuesday night. And it's the time of the rains. This year is especially special in the sense that we have a large Sangha, but also a large lay community who's coming to practice with us. So that's also something that is rare, something that's also precious. And to offer some reflections on different ways to, to calm the mind. And I think it's something that each and every one of us are interested in. That's why we're in the monastery. We could be outside, enjoying a holiday, traveling, doing different things, but yet we've taken the time off, some for 3 months, others for a few days, to place yourself in the monastery and to follow a kind of a regimented schedule, waking up early, and not listening to music or watching movies, not talking a lot, eating only before noon. Because we all want this happiness of the mind, this happiness, this peace and contentment. We're told that we meditate, we'll get it. So it's interesting, it's a good question to ask, How do we achieve this happiness, the stillness of the mind? And I think, there's many different ways to approach the training of the mind. And also the mind itself, it can be an endless, it's a whole different subject. But basically, I think each and every one of us, for mostly in terms of the untrained mind, we have this kind of a certain amount of energy in the mind. And if it's the mind is not trained, you don't have a lot of energy. And most of us waste it on distractions, music, entertainment, doing too many things, also with external lives and responsibilities we have to do, looking after our families, work. So that takes up a lot of time and energy. And then of course, we don't have very much left. And then so we feel a bit drained and tired. We get grumpy, make more mistakes, get into arguments, and then lives start to spiral out of control. And we all want happiness and peace, and yet sometimes we do things that ends up the opposite, creating more confusions for ourselves and others, creating ill will and irritations to the people around us. And it's important to know that, Buddhism is like a science of cause and result. Just because we want to be peaceful, we want to be happy, we have to put in the causes of peace and happiness to get us there. Wanting is only the start of the journey. The day-to-day grind of constantly putting in the causes of peace and stillness, constantly making peace, being kind and gentle, letting go, giving people the benefit of doubt. Those, and each and every moment, those are the causes we have to put in. And we want the mind to become more still, with more peace and stillness. And like I said, because of the limited energy we have in the mind, that we use to looking outward, then we won't have very much left to look inward. And obviously one is natural. We are social creatures. worry about what people think about us, what they say. So we spend a lot of energy devoting to that. But remember, the more you look outwards, the more there's less to look inwards. And it is the looking inwards that's going to help us. One, to increase the energy of peace and stillness. And also once we have some energy, we see things clearly. We make less mistakes, we can conserve the energy of the mind we have, and that grows. So initial period, that's where it's most difficult. That's why, you know, people come to meditation, they do it for a while, they don't get any results, no stillness, and they leave, they try something else. Try, I don't know, yoga, hula hoops, tangles, or whatever, different things to find happiness. But the thing is, I think, you know, I want to offer encouragement. You're in the right direction. But the thing is, the first bit is the most difficult bit. Once you get a hang of meditation, how the mind works, that happens naturally. It's like you're on a snowballing effect. You've got to start rolling first. Once you start rolling, you start building momentum. And after that, meditation is fun, it's easy, energy is there, you feel happy, you know how it works. But in the beginning, when things aren't quiet, it's hard to see. So you do need a lot of faith. And what the Buddha taught is true. What the Thai meditation teachers taught is true. It's something that you, each and every one of us, can do for ourselves. So that's why it's important, faith or confidence. I like the word confidence more. Faith can, has all kind of negative connotations. Faith can be faith in anything or anybody. But confidence, you have confidence that the Buddha knew what he was talking about. That wasn't just a fictional character. And that's why we're here. Obviously, there's some sort of faith and confidence in what the Buddha taught. We're here, we're trying to learn to meditate. But this is how the pieces work, as far as I can tell. It's a certain amount of energy, and a lot of time it's the energy in the physical world or the energy of the mind. And the more we focus on the physical world, the five sense world of taste, smell, touch, sight, hearing, thinking, the less we have for the energy of the mind. And that's the reason why in the monastery there is an encouragement for simplicity, encouragement for restraint. It's not because we're puritanical, that we hate pleasure. Oh, happiness is bad. We should walk around with glum faces in our face, and we shouldn't take too much food because then we'll enjoy our food, and that's no good. No, there's a reason. If we are indulged in sense pleasure, as you read in many sutras, passages, there's nothing wrong with enjoying your food. You're not, it's not killing somebody. It's not hurting other people. But if you're trying to meditate and you get into sense pleasure, then you sense your mind outward. And the more you are in the five sense world, the less likely it is for you to be able to experience the subtle energy of the mind. A good example is if you're walking in bright sunlight, and then you go into, a room that's not so bright, you won't see so clearly. And you have to wait a while for the mind to adjust. So it's the same when you come from the world of sense impingement, of sight, smell, taste, touch, and thinking. And we go into a monastery, there's going to be a period of adjustment, a period of difficulties. And for monks, it could take years and years to reorient it. Reorient your mind, and to the quiet, the subtle pleasures of the mind. And that's the reason for the encouragement of restraint. Because if we restrain the five sense world, then the mind has a chance to become stronger. But it's not an easy thing, it's very, what do you call that? It's very, goes against the grain of all experiences. So far, unless you have the great fortune to be in contact with Buddhism at a very early age, most of our world is in the five sense world: taste, touch, smell, relationship, eating, drinking, sex, movies. And none of us, really, very few people, know what the pleasure of the mind is like. Pleasure of stillness. It sounds really boring. It's like stillness. So we don't know the pleasure of the mind. Of course we're going to go for the pleasure of the five sense world. And that's normal. That's natural. But I think, you know, have some faith, have some confidence when the Buddha taught, and try to renounce that. And you'll see, it doesn't come right away. And that's the problem. When you renounce the sense pleasure, a lot of negativity comes up. And that's normal. And the mind starts to fabricate. You might start to throw up some nightmares and dreams. Your girlfriends, you know, starts to pop into your mind. Whatever. It, you know, because, you know, if the mind is used as five sense pleasure, it's going to look for that. If it doesn't get it, it's going to make it up. It's going to push you to look for it. And that's where you need to be a bit strong. That's where you need to say, okay, I'm not going to indulge. I'm going to stick my force. That's why you need to be courageous. This is this quality of heroism. You need to be a hero. You need to resist this urge first. Knowing also there's nothing wrong with them, but you're on a path for something more superior. You're looking for something more precious, something more rare. So that's the reason for the encouragement of the restraint of the five sense world. In a place like a monastery or a meditation center, where we don't eat in the afternoon, where we don't bring our mind outward with music and entertainment. Not because they're bad in and of themselves, but no. It's like, you know, if you're going to go on a destination, it's north. You don't go south. There's nothing bad with, you know, heading south. You're not going to die and go to hell. But it's not going to get where you want. So you want a peace of meditation, you want a peace of stillness. Then distracting ourselves with external stuff, it's not going to be conducive. So that's the reason for restraint. And also, yeah, and also understand the process. Yes, the initial part of the restraint, the waiting, the saying no to what you like, what you're familiar with, it's never easy. But I think once you taste the stillness of the mind, meditation, then you understand it's so much more superior than the rest. But you can't have your cake and eat it too. The two exist in contradistinction to each other. The more we indulge in the five sense world, the less likely we're going to be able to feel the subtle pleasures of the mind. And that's the reason why you see monks and nuns who have deep meditation. That's why they can live a life of simplicity. They don't have secret partners that they indulge in. Because you don't need to. You have deep meditation, why would you bother with having a partner? Why would you bother having a career, indulging in the five sense world? So that's a sign of also, you know, an attained being. See how simply he or she lives. Really, at ease. It's not because they fear, you know, sense pleasure. No, because they know something superior. Like the Buddha said over and over again, I don't fear sensual pleasure. I know something superior, and that's why I can renounce it. So in practice of meditation, in the monastery, that's with the encouragement to restraint the mind, to keep it simple, to keep it still. Knowing is not easy. Knowing full well that goes against everything we've been conditioned all our entire life. To be more, to do more, to feel more, to see more. There's always a new thing to experience this, to go to the Himalaya, to go to Japan during the spring, watch the blossoms, and you go to Paris in the summer, go to Africa, you never live until you've been in a savanna, and hunting expedition. Endless experiences of the mind, of the five sense world that you can play with. That's never going to lead you towards peace and stillness. It's never going to lead you towards wisdom. All it does, at best, entertain you for a while, just waste some time. At worst, lots of confusions, depressions. So initially, it is a giving up of some of our attachment. But later, the mind becomes more peaceful, and wisdom arises, you see that these are distractions. Because they lead the mind outwards. And you will want to meditate more. It's easy to meditate. Because the mind is not looking outwards. It's not looking for things to think or to do. But also, to expect lots of obstacles to stillness, because it's so against the worldly way. The worldly way is dragging outwards all the time. So to move inwards, it takes a lot of courage, a lot of faith, a lot of focus. But this is where you have to use your intelligence. Everybody here, I assume, 3-digit IQs. You can think, solve problems. Well, don't look around and solve other people's problems or see what the faults they have. Turn, save all that energy, turn that inward. Why is it that I'm not peaceful? Why is it I don't want to meditate? Why is it I want to distract myself with things? Why? Why is it I can't sit still? And not to beat yourself up, but just kind of it's like a scientist looking at a plant and trying to study it, to know it. To know what it's like, looking at an animal, to know its habits. What does it do in the morning? What does it do in the afternoon? What kind of food it like to eat? Same with your mind. Interesting. I like sleeping. I like this kind of food. What does it do if I eat it? How does it feel before, during, after? So just really be there. Turn all your awareness, all your investigation towards the mind. The next few months, the next couple of hours or days. And that's the thing. We're born with this body and mind. And so many of us are so, obviously, normally, focused outwards. We don't know, what is it? What's this mind of mine? And that's why we're propelled on. We just say blinded by delusion, and fettered by cravings. But cravings just push us on forward, and because we're blind, we keep doing it over and over again. So hopefully during this rains retreat, you have an opportunity to look inwards and to see where is it we're deluded, where is it what we take to be yourself, what do we take to be happiness when there's a lot of suffering, what do we take to be permanent when everything is changing. And it's only through a still mind that we can see clearly. Everything else is a game of shadow, of fantasy and fabrication, of thinking. And like I said, Buddhism is about cause and results. We want to be peaceful, we want a still mind, we have to put in the causes of peace and stillness each and every moment. And that's why the encouragement to be mindful. You're not mindful for the sake of mindfulness, not counting your steps, just for the fun of it. That way you can tell other people, oh, it takes 1,823 steps from my kuti to the sala. Or it takes 6,000 steps on my arms round this morning. Where you're counting your steps. And how many breaths is there for an hour? Those are there because you want to be in the moment, know what's happening, where's my mind? That's the thing we should be asking ourselves. That's our koan. Where am I? And is it heading towards wholesome states or unwholesome states? What I'm about to think, say, or do, is that going to generate well-being and happiness for myself or others? Or is it going to generate more confusions and suffering for myself and others? If it's towards wholesome state, we make much of it, we continue on that path. If it's the opposite, we stop, we turn and change directions. And that's what the training is. Just the grind, the day-to-day grind. What am I doing? Where am I doing? Is it bringing results for myself? Bring good results? It's going to bring unwholesome results. And also use our time when we're sitting in meditation. To reflect, why is it I can't sit for 2 hours? Why is it the mind wants to drift off? Like I said, not as a way to torture yourself, to feel more guilty or remorse. First to say, why is it? You know, why is today? Yesterday was different. What changed? But today things are really easy. And yesterday was all over the place. Why was that? So just investigate to know what things went in to bring this result. So Buddhism is an education, a training. It's something each and every one of us can do. And each and every one of us have to do for ourselves. Not something that anybody else can do for us. But it's a wonderful tool that we can solve our own problem. It's amazingly empowering to know that you are the sole owner of your karma. Whatever you do, you will inherit the results of that. Nobody else. And the training of the mind is all something that each and every one of us can do in different ways. Obviously, if you have time, you can devote more time to formal meditation. If you have less time, there's always, a few minutes during the day, a few minutes, in the morning or afternoon, or just constantly watching, where's my body, where am I? Am I in the present moment, or drifting off somewhere? Am I indulging ill will and fault finding? Or am I focusing my mind on forgiveness and giving people the benefit of doubt? So I just offer some reflection for you tonight on the path of practice leading towards peace and liberation. That it is not easy. No one said it was easy. But it's very precious. We all have the great karma to be in touch with the Buddhist teaching. We have the great fortune to be in a monastery, be in a quiet place where we can devote to watching and understanding our mind. It's not an easy thing. It's not a common thing. And once you taste the happiness of the mind, taste the stillness of the mind, you won't No one will have to tell you to meditate, to sit still. Do not distract yourself. You meditate on your own. You sit for hours and hours, any chance you get. But until then, it's normal. It's understandable. So I hope that during this rains, during the next few weeks or hours, that we all can use this precious opportunity to still the mind, to understand ourselves a little better for the welfare and happiness of all beings. Let's talk tonight. Anamayang dhamma vargitai sarukarang dham.